Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
I'm going to read you a couple things. Somebody handed one of these to me today, and I've seen this before, but I've never had the courage to read it. So here we go. Different Christian groups or different religious groups, and how many of them it takes to change a light bulb. Charismatics, only one, hands already in the air. Pentecostals, 10, one to change the bulb and nine to pray against the spirit of darkness. Presbyterians, none, lights will go on and off at predestined times. Roman Catholics, none, candles only. Baptists, at least 15, one to change the light bulb and three committees to approve the change and decide who brings the potato salad. Episcopalians, 8, one to call the electrician and 7 to say how much they like the old one better. Unitarians, we choose not to make a statement either in favor or against the need for a light bulb. However, if in your own journey you have found that light bulbs work for you, that is fine. You're invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your personal relationship with your light bulb and present it in next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service, in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths to luminescence. Methodists, undetermined whether your light is bright, dull, or completely out, you're loved. You can be a light bulb, turnip bulb, or tulip bulb. Church-wide lighting service is planned for Sunday, August 19th. Bring bulb of your choice and a covered dish. Nazarene, 6, one woman to replace the bulb while 5 men review church lighting policy. Lutherans, none. Lutherans don't believe in change. I'm just reading them. We're not picking a winner here. And the last one on this list, at least, is Amish, what's a light bulb? All right, here's another brief one here. One day, 3 men were walking along and came upon a raging, violent river. They needed to get to the other side, but had no idea how to do it. The first man prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross this river." Poof, God gave him big arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river in about 2 hours. Seeing this, the second man prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength and ability to cross this river." Poof! God gave him a rowboat, and he was able to row across the river in about 3 hours. The third man had seen how this worked out for the other two, so he also prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength, ability, and intelligence to cross this river." And poof, God turned him into a woman. He looked at the map, then walked across the bridge. Next week we'll resume our blonde jokes. Okay. So don't you women come after me now saying, "Oh, you're always making fun of women." All right. The title of today's message is Help Wanted with a question mark. The other day I was on the computer trying to do some funny creative stuff, and I thought it was funny and creative, but you may not. So I printed up this Help Wanted sign with a question mark on it and thought, we'll put this in the window at the church office. And we're on the street, you know, where a lot of people go by. And it's one of those deals, you look at it when you see it in print, and then you kind of have to look at it again. Because usually a Help Wanted sign means, come in, we need help. But this one says, and at the bottom I put, inquire inside. And it's a little bit different twist on it, but the question from a church's perspective, and maybe from God's perspective even, it's not that God doesn't need our help, but God's going to get the job done. and he has chosen to use us to accomplish his purposes in the world. But it's more of our needing his help than it is him needing our help. And if you kind of had a big sign on God's door and it said, help wanted, the question really is, do we need his help? Now, it's interesting to me that there are times that we live in right now when a few months, years ago, the help wanted signs were everywhere, and all of a sudden that thing's turning. And all of a sudden there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and I don't think it's over. The dominoes are falling, the economic stress, and you know, you go through this room, anybody listening today, and there's a chance it's crossed your mind, and people say, well, I've had to be a part of, I know some people personally that have been a part of laying off some people where they work, wherever it may be. But see, the thing is, even if you get in the place where you have the axe for a while, somebody upstream may take that axe out of your hand, and then they go take it, you know, they use you to eliminate, and then you get lost in the next round. So there's a lot of people right now saying, you know what, God, I may need some help. But it is amazing to me how many people, even under stressful times, and it, you know, you think, well, terrorist things happen, all this stuff, war, people are going to flock to churches. They don't necessarily. A lot of people have, but there are tens of millions of people who still won't turn to God. Now, my philosophy on this is, or part of it is this. If I'm, and some people say, well, people don't like to be called pagans. If that's what you are, I don't know what else to call you. But there are either pagans, you don't want like that word, maybe non-believers or people. It's not that they're against God or don't believe in God. They just don't get it. We have people show up at church and they come in and listen and walk out and go, wow, I never knew that. And it's just simple, basic stuff. But we assume that because we live in America, everybody knows the whole deal. Because you can find a book in the Bible and quote a verse or, you know, some kind. You think, well, everybody knows this stuff. They don't. And people who are out there living their own way, doing their own thing, chasing it their way, when a catastrophe comes along, they feel so hypocritical. If I haven't been to church in 20 years, and somebody blows up some buildings and some planes crash, and I go running into church, I'm going to look like an idiot. They're proud to begin with, maybe, but they're not stupid to just go flying into church going, oh, God, help me, unless they're ready to stick with it. So be sensitive to people who may be gradually processing this thing, and it may take them a few months because they know they need help, but they have condemned hypocrites their whole life, and now they're going to look like one. Oh, you didn't need God until things fell apart. Now you come running into church and want help, and they don't know if they're going to be blasted out the back door by religious people who say, well, where have you been the last 20 years? Now all of a sudden you got problems, you need God. We need to be gentle. We need to be, you know, take their applications, so to speak. And I'm not saying you got to apply to go to church, but sometimes we look, size people up. They come in, you know, kind of racial profiling, spiritual profiling. Somebody walks in and we go, oh, well, we want to help people, but we think you may be beyond help, you know. I mean, the best thing for you to do is die and let God help you because, you know. But there are a lot of people out there right now, and I don't mean to be negative. This isn't about being negative, but guys, you don't have to get negative to get real. And there is an undercurrent, and it's kind of bubbling over in a lot of places. We all want to get back to normal. Our president says get back to normal, so we get back to work, get to normal. But there is this thing under the surface in our lives, an awareness. And I said to somebody, it's almost like we're in the eye of the storm right now. A storm hit, it blew over us fast, and we're in this calm time. So you kind of lull yourself into thinking, well, maybe this is just going to all go away, and it's all going to be okay, and we'll get back to normal, and as long as I get my six-pack and the boat running, I'll be fine. And then all of a sudden, in a matter of days, if my guess is right, things start happening. And either you or someone you know is going to have a help wanted sign up on their heart. And they don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. They don't want to be hypocrites. They don't want to look stupid, come running to God just because something's falling apart in their life, whether it's a job, a relationship, or just fear. Now, I'm not saying I'm not afraid at times. But the worst thing that could happen to me is the best thing that could happen to me. You take my life, and I am home. You say, well, that's cocky or whatever. You know what? It ain't about me at all. The only chance I've got in this world or the world to come is a man named Jesus Christ. And when he died on that cross, that was ground zero spiritually. He took all the heat. He took all the Bin Ladens, all the everybody's stuff, me included. And because of who he is and what he did, now I have the assurance of an eternal and an abundant life. So you can't lose. But there are a lot of people out there who don't know that, who don't feel that. They may even be religious people, and they still live in fear because they're trying to be a good person. They're trying to perform for God and say, okay, God, I'm doing better. I gave more money. I helped more ladies across the street. You know, whatever their deal is, throw me a bone. You know, give me a break. He gave you a break at the cross. And I'm going to read you a few verses out of the scriptures. Psalm 46, verse 1. And if you take notes on these things or write them down, I highly recommend, you know, either underline them or putting a marker in your Bible somewhere. This is stuff that is great to go back and read. People say, well, I don't know where to read in the Bible. I'll give you some great stuff to read. Psalm 46, verse 1 and following. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's your help. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Now, this sounds very simplistic, but if you need help, gosh, I don't even know if I should share this one. It's almost too personal. And I got a 3-year-old in my house, almost 3-year-old. Well, here we go, Lord. She's almost 3. Now this, if you don't have kids, this is going to make a bit of sense, and I may lose some of you on this one. She is potty trained, but she can't finish the deal all by herself. And this morning already, this screeching voice from one of the bathrooms. And you're somewhere in the house going, did I hear what I think I hear? And you know she is sitting there. She's done everything she can. She just has not gotten all the way through the process. Now, what has she done? She didn't know that, you know, if you don't do that in a restaurant or something, you know. But that is a 2-year-old in a place where she needs help. And she doesn't know anything else to do but, Mommy! And I'm telling you, if you don't go and help her, she will keep screaming. And she will not move until somebody goes in there and takes care of her. Now, there used to be we had to do everything. She didn't even make it, you know, they're young. She's growing up. But you know what? She still needs help. And once she figures that process out, there's going to be some other thing. The problem with us is that we grow up and we stop needing help. But we don't stop needing help. We just stop admitting we need help. Whether it be God's help or each other's help. I mean, you meet somebody who says, well, I'm not an alcoholic. I drink a lot early in the morning. That's all. Now, that's not funny if you're an alcoholic, because if that's where you've been, you know the reality of that. But at some point, that person goes, you know what? I'm in trouble. I wake up, that's the first thing I want to drink. I go to sleep with a drink. I wake up in the middle of the night, I want to drink. I'm an alcoholic. I need help. And you find yourself in a room with some people going, hi, Bob. Hi, you know, everybody saying hi to each other. And only the alcoholics are laughing at that. No. But you end up in a place with what? Saying, I need help. And sometimes you scream for help to God, and he says, okay. And then he sends you, you know, everybody knows the story about the flood. And, you know, the guy's drowning. He's praying, oh, God, help me. And they have to climb up on the roof. And, you know, a boat comes by. And he says, oh, no, God's going to take care of me. And a helicopter comes by. All these people come by. And the guy dies. He drowns. And he gets to heaven. He says, you know, well, God, what happened? You know, I cried for help. And he said, well, I sent 2 boats and a helicopter. What do you want? I mean, you're crying out for help, and God sends you people. He sends you situations. He shows you a church and says, get plugged in, be in a community. Let people help you be accountable and challenge you and encourage you and help you grow. You say, well, I don't want that kind of help. You will. Sooner or later, it's going to get so bad, and that's what we need to be as a community of believers and churches, but also need to be aware these people are coming our direction. You're going to have to cry out for help and then be willing to do whatever it is God is recommending to do. And it may be extreme. It may change a lot of things. But if that's what it takes, implement. Psalm 145:18 again. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. It's simple. God help me. And Americans are some of the worst on the planet about this. We don't need anybody. We won't even go next door and ask our neighbor for help because we don't want to get indebted to anybody. If I help him, he's going to have to help me, and I'll never get rid of this guy, and I don't want to do that. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Psalm 146:5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. And I got to throw this in here. I am so grateful to be an American that we haven't nuked somebody already. And that at the same time, or there's this window for any innocent people who don't want to die, to flee to a border. And if you monitor this thing, I guarantee you, you look at the bags of food that are going in for the refugees, it says USA. The bombs have USA on them, and the bags have USA on them. We may go in there and put some heat on them, but we're feeding innocent people at the same time. And I don't know if the world gets that or sees that. They'll put tents up, they'll feed the poor, you know, refugees will be taken in, and I don't want to go too far with this, but there's something I think we need to pray about, and this may sound completely bizarre to some people. This whole thing may be about an army, literally, of young men and women descending on a Muslim world in the middle of it, and how many believers are there in our military? You couldn't have gotten 20 believers, and they got some arrested over there. And all of a sudden, in uniform, being welcomed, you have a nation. And a high percentage, I would guess, of those young men who believe in God, who now have an opportunity to interact with a whole Muslim world that you can't even get to. Where it'd take us 1,000 years praying for missionaries to get in there, and they'd get killed. So sometimes God allows something over here. Our ways are not His ways. And our thoughts are not His thoughts. And to think it's about wiping out Muslim people, it's not. It's about saving. He came to seek and to save the lost. And people say, well, what about all those people over there? They don't know about Jesus. Well, that may be about to change. So pray that it's not just about military might, but there's some spiritual might that when these soldiers go in and interact with these people and everybody in that region, that the light will come on, that the gospel will be proclaimed, and they'll have, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that can come from this. He executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked He turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then over in Romans 10, and I recommend you go back and read Romans, or at least chapter 10, He says, for there is, verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on His name. I mean, what's one of the number one prayers on the planet? Even atheists pray this when they get in enough trouble. Help me, Jesus. It's funny how they can come up with Jesus' name in the deal, too. Help me, Jesus. You say, well, that's all it takes. God knows your heart. Somebody cries out and says, God, I need your help. I know I've screwed up. I am screwed up. I am a screw up. I am, you know, I'm in trouble. I've sinned. I know it. I got no remedy for it but you. Jesus died for me, shed his blood, was buried, raised from the dead. I accept this gift of eternal life. I ask you to come live in me and through me and change me. I need your help. It was Jesus, I think, in John 15, 4 or 5 said, without me, you can do nothing. So when you find out you're helpless, that's when you start getting help. Because you start asking for help when you know you can't do it without him. Hebrews 4, 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And one of the great misunderstandings people have about God and church and the whole deal is they think, I'm going to, you know, let my wounds get all healed up, and I'm going to go to the emergency room and see if I did a good job. I'm going to reset my own arm, wrap it up, and then after a couple weeks, I'll go in and let them check it. No, if you broke your arm, you go as fast as you can to an emergency room and let them do the work. It's not about getting cleaned up. You know, I haven't seen anybody yet going to the emergency room say, well, do you like my hair? Do you think I'll look okay? You know. Does this suit look nice? Do you think the doctor's going to like me in this? You go. I had a guy tell me, he went to a church, went in, and they looked at him. He's a guy from Liberia here studying, went to a local church, and he got blasted out of there because they said he didn't have a, you know, black suit coat on or something. He wore what he wore. And it happens all the time. We are so caught up in our clothes and our cars and our stuff, our things. And a person says, okay, God, I need help, and I'm going to go see if that church will help me. And we just blow them out the door with all our junk. Last one, Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and that there is grace and help in time of need, Lord. We can call on you. We can trust you. You won't leave us. You won't forsake us. And Father, help us realize that we're a whole lot more helpless than we realize, but that there's a whole lot more help than we ever were aware of. And if we'll just realize that without you, we can do nothing, but with you when we call upon you, that you do listen and you respond. You always answer our prayers, yes, no, or wait, but you always answer. Father, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of questions, a lot of people trying to figure out which way is up, which way to go. And I think more than maybe ever, there's a lot of help wanted. And I pray that if we are the ones that need help, we'll find it, we'll look for it, whether from you or those that you put in our path. but also, Lord, that we'll be prepared, if we know we need you, for those who come across our path that need you, that need us to be your hands, your feet, your voice, your eyes, to help them, Lord. So use us this day. It could be our last. Teach us to number our days and realize how precious they truly are. We love you. We thank you so much for loving us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.